This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
We are all about preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And it's a big mission that encompasses so much more than the act of abortion. Of course, we have to talk about preventing pregnancy if we're going to talk about preventing abortion. And to do that, we have to start thinking about connecting sex with marriage, connecting sex with childbearing and family, and really what is the role of women in culture? What is God's vision for us in our lives and in our future and in this gift of being sexual beings? And so I'm really pleased to be able to speak with tonight's guest because she has a very important message about how God's vision for womanhood and for young womanhood is really being corrupted through something that seems almost benign if you're not too aware of what's going on with it. Joining us to talk about how Cosmo hurts kids is Victoria Hurst, who's part of the Hurst family, which owns Cosmopolitan magazine and many, many other well-known assets in their media empire. Victoria, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kim. I really appreciate it.
I want to give you the chance to talk about Cosmo Hurts Kids because it's a bold statement that you're making, and it's a real call to action that you're issuing, not just for parents, but for us as a culture. But before we do that, let's get to know you a little bit because your story is fascinating. You're from the Hurst family, one of, I think, five daughters. Is that right?
Yes, I'm the youngest of five girls. I'm the baby.
And you wanted a showbiz career, and you were well on your way. Tell me about your time in Hollywood.
I had been studying acting and singing and dancing and stuff for years since I was a kid. And then, I wanted to get into show business. So I went down to Los Angeles, and I got into a good acting studio there. And we formed a improvisational comedy group, which is great training for acting. And I also did a stint for a couple of months on General Hospital as a featured character as a psychiatrist.
And that's awesome.
The characters on General Hospital really needed a psychiatrist. and then I did some television guest starring in a very popular samurai drama of all things in Japan. So that was a kick. So I, you know, kind of got into show business, but I could never quite break through. I mean, I met a lot of famous people. I had a lot of great ins. And yet, I would sort of get in with the in crowd, and then I would get tossed out of the in crowd. It was sort of like I was almost there, but not quite, and kind of pressing my nose against the glass, watching the successful people, wanting to be one of them, but never quite making it. And then I met a wonderful man, who was an actor and a director. His name was Bob. And I thought, this is it. I mean, we're going to be the power couple, and we're going to do films together, and, you know, we're going to show everybody how it's done. And I bought the lie, and this is a major lie, and it ties in with what you all do. This is the lie that is sold to girls, and, of course, you know, young women, is that sex equals love. Look at all of the TV shows. Look at all the movies that are out there. You've got the beautiful girl and the handsome guy, and they meet and they have their adventures together, or they have their romance, and before they ever get married, they're having sex. And it's so destructive, and it was really destructive in my life because when you know, the guy that I was with didn't want to have sex with me. It turned out this guy had his own problems. And I always tell ladies, you know what? When a man has been divorced twice and has a string of ex-girlfriends, honey, you're not special. You are not the one. You are another one. And sure enough, he started to treat me badly, you know, emotionally. And, you know, it made me crazy because sometimes he just wouldn't touch me for days or weeks. And when you believe the lie that sex equals love, then you're going, he doesn't love me, he doesn't love me, what's going on here? And your whole self-worth is wrapped up in whether or not you are being intimate with the boyfriend. And it really just killed my self-esteem. I didn't have much self-esteem anyway, or I wouldn't have been with this guy. But finally, the fortunate thing with my family is we had all been brought up in church. We'd been brought up Catholic. So I knew about God. I always felt that Jesus was in my life, although I wasn't living my life for him. I wasn't doing bad things, per se. I mean, I wasn't, you know, doing drugs and sleeping with everybody in sight and stealing and murdering and all that stuff. But, you know, I just was living in my own wisdom, which was another mistake. And when the relationship started going down the tubes, I started going down the tubes. And after having not picked up a Bible since, you know, Catholic school in sixth grade, finally, the devil made me so miserable that I started channel surfing at home, and I came across Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I came, and Paul Crouch and another pastor were talking about the sinner's prayer, what it was, what it does, how to say it. And it was interesting because I was in my bedroom, and Paul said, we're going to kneel down here on the platform. And those of you in your bedroom, if you want to kneel down here and say this prayer with us, you know, that's great. So I did. I knelt down, and I said the sinner's prayer. So this was December of 1995. And so now I think of myself as a little embryo Christian. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to get with Bob, and we're going to start going to church, and everything's going to be fine. Of course, I hadn't gotten to the marry the guy and, you know, stop living with him thing, you know, yet, because I was still a little embryo Christian. But long story short, Bob was not coming to the party. So I started reading the Bible. I started watching Christian preaching and teaching, you know, shows with good people. And anyway, I broke up with Bob in January of 96. And I told, you know, especially women, you know, here's the testimony. I lost one man, but I got someone better, and that was Jesus Christ. So I've been walking on with Jesus. The Lord has not given me a boyfriend or a husband. And you know what? For a while, that really hurt trying to be single. And that's a whole other program talking about being single and Christian.
Sure.
But anyway, so since 1996, it's been me and the Lord.
Victoria Hurst.
Changed my life. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to reintroduce, in case you just joined us, we're listening to Victoria Hurst and her story of wanting to make a difference within her own family's empire. And I don't know how much of that is driven by your faith and how much of it's just driven by, you know, being alarmed at how far the corporate culture has drifted from your family's vision of what Cosmopolitan magazine in particular is supposed to be. So, Victoria, as we're thinking about this new campaign that you've just rolled out recently, set the stage for us. What is the problem with Cosmopolitan? I mean, people may see the cover in the grocery store or wherever on the newsstand and think, oh, yeah, I've seen that. You know, gee, kind of racy fashion images. You know, some of those headlines are a little bit, wow. right. But what is the problem that we need to be aware of with Cosmo?
The problem with Cosmopolitan magazine is that it pushes sex as a lifestyle. Now, it was first published in 1886 as a clean, pure women family magazine. My grandfather, William Randolph Hearst, bought it in 1905. That was his first magazine. And he kept it as Women, Family, Literature, Society. He died in 1951. 14 years later, in 1965, the magazine's going downhill. The company doesn't know what to do. They have other magazines. We have 21 magazines right now. And so they decided that the greatest way to save the magazine was to hire a woman named Helen Gurley Brown. Now, Helen Gurley Brown, for those of you who the name sounds familiar, wrote a book called Sex and the Single Girl about how she had used sex to get to the top. And she, at that time, was the icon of the feminist and sexual revolution movement. she had always wanted to do a magazine, of course, make it in her image and likeness. So the devil provided Helen to the men of the Hearst Corporation. They hired her. She became editor-in-chief of Cosmo. She took a women, you know, fashion society magazine and turned it into a sex rag. One of the first articles was about the birth control pill. And it got more and more and more sexual since then. Until now, it is probably over the last 15 years, it has really become pornographic. The words on the cover are sex, and I don't know if I can say the O word on your show, but anyway, it's a real come on, and it's always, you know, 50 ways to have sex and 50 ways to do this, and they have a sex toy of the month, they have a sex position of the month, they have drawings of people in sexual positions. In the January issue of this year, they had a woman who was topless where they had to put a little star over, you know, mm-hmm. that part of her breast so that you couldn't see that. And mm-hmm. they've really, they idolize and glamorize and push the have sex. Have sex with strangers, pick up strange men. Have sex with your boyfriend all the time. They never, of course, mention marriage. They have articles or constant advertisements for birth control pills, birth control devices. You know, the whole thing is
they're a big purveyor of abortion. And it's interesting.
Absolutely. Oh, they love abortion. Here's what they love. If God's against it, they're for it. Mm. They love abortion. They love homosexuality, lesbianism.
I want to say, on this topic in particular, on abortion, they have tried to take on a mantle of serious journalism. And so they bring in writers, and it primarily happens, I don't know if it happens as much on the print edition as in the online branding, but they'll bring in writers that, you know, have some kind of a high profile with other magazines that have good circulation, and then they'll send them on an undercover investigation, and it's all propaganda. It's all
These women are the definition of what the Apostle Paul said in the Book of Romans, where Paul said, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the Word of God in their hearts, that God gave them over to a depraved mind.
Mm.
The women that work at this magazine and who are allowed to do what they do by the 24 members of the board of Hearst Corporation. Because remember, this is not an independent publication. These women work for the Hearst community, you know, for Hearst Corporation, Hearst Communications. They are under the authority of the president and the vice president and the department of, you know, magazine's head. They are allowed by their bosses to do what they do. And of 21 magazines we have, only one is pornographic. That is Cosmopolitan. And, of course, guess which magazine is the number one bestseller?
Sure, and of course that's what justifies their existence. So for you to be sounding the alarm, and your primary purpose is to keep this away from kids, right?
Right.
I mean, that it would
that's
not.
That's what God told me about 4 years ago or so. God said, "Get this magazine out of the hands of kids." So I've never done a public campaign or anything like this before, but God put wonderful people in my life, primarily a woman named Diane Rogers and her daughter Ruth Rogers. They're Christians. They have a Christian, you know, PR and management company, and they've been doing a brilliant job. So basically, it's the three of us. The Cosmo Hearst Kids campaign is me and Diane and Ruth. It's not a nonprofit. We're not asking for donations. I am doing this on my own time with my own money. I'm getting zero out of this, Kim. I don't have a book to sell. I'm not doing a movie. You know, I love my family. I'm not mad at anybody. We're not trying to censor the magazine. We're not trying to put it out of business. Look, the two prongs of this campaign are this. One is to do interviews like this with you and others and let the public know Cosmopolitan contains in its pages hardcore pornography. The other thing is to have meetings with district attorneys, politicians, concerned family groups, sheriffs, and let them know that all 50 states in the United States have material harmful to minors laws. And if you read what's in these laws, I'm going to read you, if I may, a little bit quickly.
Sure.
Out of the Tennessee law. And Cosmopolitan as a magazine absolutely conforms to this. You know, and hold on, I'm looking for it. Where are you? Okay. Well, I'll lead you. Okay, this is the Utah law. I'm in Utah right now. I've got a meeting with the governor's representative this afternoon. You know, the governor of Utah last year declared pornography in his state a public health crisis.
And absolutely so. I mean, there's a great article on CosmoHurtsKids.com about pornography. If you haven't gotten this memo yet, that a pornography is not benign, even though it's ubiquitous, even though we can't escape it, it is not benign. And there's a great article that Victoria's got posted at CosmoHurtsKids with a meta-analysis of the 22 separate studies from seven countries finding ties between pornography and sexual aggression and all sorts of other problems. Mm-hmm. And so I urge you to get on the website and look at that. But, yeah, so tell us about, for example, the statute in Utah.
Okay, the Utah statute says that any magazine or other material that contains these particular things has to be either in a blinder rack or away from where kids can get their hands on it. But their definition of harmful to minors means that quality of any description or representation in whatsoever form of nudity. Cosmo has nudity. Sexual conduct. Cosmo depicts sexual conduct. Sexual excitement. Cosmo depicts sexual excitement. Taken as a whole, appeals to the prurient interest of sex of insects of minors. Okay, prurient means the lewd or sexual interest in sex of minors. If this material is patently offensive to prevailing standards in the adult community as a whole with respect to what is suitable material for minors and taken as a whole does not have serious value for minors, which, of course, Cosmo does not. And they said serious value includes any or only serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value for minors, none of which Cosmo has. Anyway, material, it says, means anything printed or written, both in Cosmo, or any picture, drawing, or photograph, which are in Cosmo, that depicts sexual activity, et cetera. And then minor means anyone less than 18 years of age. In Tennessee, selling this kind of material to minors is a Class A felony, a Class A misdemeanor, which is right under a felony. And in Florida, it's a Class 3 felony, which is right above a Class A misdemeanor. So, you know, there are laws now. People have woken up and said, you know what, it's not okay to sell this stuff to kids. It's just not okay. And Cosmo's not like Penthouse or Hustler or Playboy, where it's just a bunch of dirty pictures. We get it. But Cosmopolitan pushes a lifestyle, and it put out a special issue in September 2015, Cosmopolitan Hot and Healthy. They wanted to, you know, try a little fitness guide. But the then editor-in-chief, who's now been promoted, there's a new editor-in-chief of Cosmo, but the then editor-in-chief for years, Joanna Coles, in her From the Editor little statement in this knockoff of Cosmo says, and she admits, that this they always say that Cosmo is about sex, giving women great advice on sex and then fashion and beauty, et cetera. And she says for this magazine, quoting her in her little editorial, and because we're Cosmo, of course, we've included the hottest summer sex positions to make it more fun to indulge in your favorite way to work up a sweat. Now, they have drawings in this magazine, which they took out of an earlier Cosmopolitan magazine edition of naked men and women having sex in various places. And one of the places they say is a great place to have sex because they advocate a crime. And frequently in their issues, they have actually advocated criminal behavior, which is sex in public. And in this one, they say a great place to have sex is at an amusement park or on a roller coaster. And they say, quoting them in the article, the ideal place to get discreetly happy is probably more like a Pirates of the Caribbean ride because it would be really awesome to be banned from Disneyland forever. Now, what they don't tell you is that, especially if you're an adult and children see you doing that in public, you can actually, if prosecuted and convicted, you can actually be labeled a sex offender. But this is what they say. And well, if anyone who doesn't agree with them, like you and me, is right. The enemy. They hate God. They hate Christians. They hate pro-life. They hate pro-life pregnancy centers. They hate abstinence. If it's moral, they hate it.
You know, Victoria Hurst is our guest, and Victoria is talking about her project, CosmoHurtsKids.com, and I urge you to go there and ask God what he would have you do, what action he would have you take on this. At the very least, be sure within your individual circle that people understand, you know, that this is dangerous, and it's not anything to be taken lightly. But Victoria,
and you know what?
You know, this
you
last
know,
thing.
Your circulation.
I need to comment on this last thing, because people may have heard you say, oh, they're advocating for sex in public, and say, nah. But I'll tell you, I am aware of young people who have incorporated that message and who don't see anything wrong with it. The breaking down of the natural modesty has now been accomplished in our culture. I mean, and we see it everywhere, with from the oversharing on social media to all sorts of other places. But I can tell you about teachers in public high schools that will talk about sexual activity when the lights are out for a movie, publicly, in the classroom setting. If you're not aware of what is happening in this generation, you really need to take what Victoria is saying to heart. That this isn't somebody who's just being alarmist. This is someone who is telling you that there is a siren call being made to our youth, and it's up to us to interrupt that message and to replace it with something better. So
exactly. And I have even the American Psychological Association, who tend to get a bit liberal at times, even they say that sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. Our brains are not fully developed until we're 25 years old. So you've got underage girls who are being told by Cosmopolitan magazine that if you're not having sex, if you don't have a boyfriend, if you're not sexy, if you don't look sexy, if you don't act sexy, they just say wear the word sexy out. If you don't do sex text, you know, text people sexual messages, then you're nobody. Helen Gurley Brown, who was hired and turned this magazine into a sex rag, is famous for saying, quote, my philosophy is, if you're not having sex, you're finished, unquote. Now, is that not a perverted, depraved mindset? And is that not a perverted, depraved, dangerous mindset to communicate to impressionable, vulnerable tween and teenage girl?
So, all right. So, Victoria, we have about 4 minutes remaining, and I want to give you a chance to lay out an action plan and help us to know what our next step should be now that you've raised the awareness for us of this problem.
Great. If you go to the website, you will see suggestions about what to do. Now, one of the things you can do is you can get online and you can look up the material harmful to minors law in your state. For example, if you're in Utah, type in Utah material harmful to minors law. And sometimes you'll get their pornography section in the statutes first. You just scroll down and you look for the word minors. And what you want to see is display and sale of harmful material to minors. And you can print out that law. If you go to a retailer, because now the Hearst Corporation I have gone to, and they refuse to respond. They don't care. It's their number one bestseller, and I really hate to say it. They do not care that this magazine can be bought by children. They won't put a warning on it. They won't put an adult material, warning on it. Believe me, I've gone round with them, and it saddens me that they don't care. So now, I'm going to, like I said, the politicians, the DAs, the sheriffs who are in charge of enforcing these laws, and to the public. So if you find out your state's harmful to minors law, what you can do is you can go to a retailer like a Walmart or a CVS or a Walgreens, et cetera, that carry the magazine. Look at the magazine yourself first. Go to their lust section, and you will see all this stuff I'm talking about. Then you get to the manager, and you say, this magazine contains this. Here is our state law. Do you know it is illegal for you to sell this to anyone under 18? And if the manager tries to say, well, corporate has to tell me to obey the law, you tell them that's not true. And that that you're going to contact the authorities if he sells this, if you find out that he sold this to minors. Be nice, but educate yourself. So if you want to know more about this magazine, go to CosmoHurtsKids.com. You can read about me. You can read about the campaign. And as I said, we're not asking for money. We're not a nonprofit. It's me and Diane and Ruth. It's the three of us. I'm doing this with my own time and money. And please pray. That's the biggest thing you can do for me. Please, please, please just pray for us. Because this is God's will. God told me to do this. And I really need your prayers. I need you to pray for the people at the Hearst Corporation. Go and see that list. Pray for those people. Because they need Jesus. Because, you know, you want to beat the devil, get people saved.
A beautiful, beautiful note to end on, Victoria. And I thank you so much that you're influencing the children of many with this message that Cosmo Hurts Kids. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, God bless you, Kim. Thank you for your time. I really, really appreciate you having me.
You can learn more about Victoria's activities and her ministries at cradlemyheart.org. We'll have everything linked for you there. Now, stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll open the phones for your calls, 1-800-811-3003. Won't you join us here at Cradle My Heart Radio?
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us and making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your weekend. We are glad that you're here, and we are live, and our phone lines are open for you right now. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. And as I listened to our interview playback with Victoria Hurst of Cosmo Hurts Kids, I wondered if this was new information for you, or if you are a parent who is already grappling with the effects of culture on kids. Would love to hear your thoughts and your reaction at 1-800-811-3003, as I really wrestled with how to present the information in such a way so as not to, of course, give the magazine any more publicity. When we posted about the interview and about Victoria Hurst, and I had no problem, of course, letting you know about who she is and this initiative that she's leading, but I just did not want to link to the resources because it is straight up pornography. I just did not feel comfortable doing that. So I appreciate you bearing with us for the sensitive subject matter tonight, if you made it through the interview, but I think it's really important. And whether or not you have kids at home or even college age, young adult children in your family, I think it's important for us as mature believers to know what's going on in the challenges that young people are facing in our culture, not only so that we can say, you know what, if I see this magazine on a newsstand where it's at eye level, where kids can have access to it, I am going to speak up to the manager of a store. I saw a copy of it in the salon this week. You know, there it was in the basket with all the other magazines. And you're like, wow. I mean, so there's several of the women's magazines that are really objectionable in their content, but it does not go to the level. And so we can talk about that. We can talk about what you learned with Victoria Hurst and whether or not this is new information for you. Our number is 1-800-811-3003. If you have some ideas about changing culture, maybe you feel like this is a prayer and revival issue, and that's it, you know, and the culture is going the way the culture is because, you know, Christians and the church has failed to be the light. I mean, I think that's the ultimate answer and prescription. But that would mean that we would be in the stores speaking up to the store managers, right? We would be saying something. We would be the light. Tell me what you think. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And our pro-life resource tonight is a book called Unprotected. A few years ago, we interviewed the author, Dr. Miriam Grossman. She was a campus psychiatrist at UCLA, and she wrote about, the subtitle of the book is A Campus Psychiatrist Reveals How Political Correctness in Her Profession Endangers Every Student. And I don't think that that's an overstatement. And Dr. Grossman, this book is available for you at 1-800-811-3003 if you'll call and join us with a question or comment. Just say, hey, Kim, I'm listening tonight and tell me your town. We do need to have you call in, though, on the show when we're on the air in order to win. Or drop us an email or send us a tweet at Kim Kitola while the show is live, all right? 1-800-811-3003, because we need your voice. We want to be able to include you in the conversation. And one of the things that, you know, Dr. Grossman talked with us about is it starts with early sexual debut, and it starts with the sexualization of kids, boys and girls. But it harms girls to a much greater degree than it does boys. And I hope that that's not diminishing the problems that boys run into with pornography and with early sexual activity. But the girls, of course, aside from the risk for pregnancy, the girls are just so wired differently biologically that the evidence is there that the hookup culture and that the sexualization of girls at an early age is very, very damaging to their mental health and to their physical health as well. And Dr. Grossman has 40 pages of notes with the scientific research before she presented her findings. And what I think was really fascinating about this is that she first wrote the book and published it by anonymous MD because she thought that it would be so controversial that her peers would run her out of town on a rail, because she's saying, you know, psychiatry is telling everyone that sex is natural and it's normal and it's good and parents shouldn't make kids feel ashamed and shouldn't put any limits on it. And in fact, psychiatry will even tell me, parents have had this experience that they've shared with me, that a psychiatrist recommended birth control for a minor child that they were seeing. Psychiatrists will tell you that they believe that it's, again, natural, normal, et cetera, but they're ignoring the research that says otherwise. And they're basing it on outdated and ideologically flawed research from a generation ago. And this is one of the things that Dr. Grossman was so shocked by, because when she published the book anonymously to avoid pushback from her peers, instead, what happened was a deafening silence. It isn't that they even blacklisted her or closed ranks against her. They simply didn't take up the challenge. She said she was worried about the response that, you know, campuses and mental health organizations don't always celebrate ideological diversity. How's that for an understatement? Boy, and she wrote, Dr. Grossman wrote those words. Let's see when this edition, this was the second edition that came out, and she's credited as the author of the book in this edition. And this came out in 2007. So yeah, the campus isn't really celebrating ideological diversity. She's right about that. But she says it was her publisher who suggested that she publish anonymously. She's proud of the work. She wasn't worried about, you know, taking credit for it. But in the midst of it, once the book came out, it got a lot of attention and a lot of very positive feedback. And so with that in mind, she said, she's issued a challenge. She called for Columbia University to explain its promotion of high-risk behavior on their site, goaskalice.com. And again, I won't link to it on my site because, wow, it's hair-raising. It really is. And of course, no one has taken up the challenge that Dr. Grossman has had out there for a number of years. 1-800-811-3003. If you'd like to get a copy of Unprotected by Miriam Grossman, MD, please call us and join us here on the program. 1-800-811-3003. Dr. Grossman encountered problems from students when she was campus psychiatrist at UCLA across the board with mental health challenges, everything from depression and an inability to function well in classes because of disruptions to sleep or eating disorders, but much more serious problems like cutting and suicide attempts. And she brings it back to, you know, girls engaging in hookup culture and not being able to understand that this was harming them physiologically as well as psychologically. And so what happens in Dr. Grossman's way of articulating it is that there's a different hormonal response in young women than there is in young men. So that when young men have completed the sexual encounter, they are able to walk away without feeling any emotional bond as a result of the encounter. Women, on the other hand, have this hormone called oxytocin, and it's the bonding hormone. And it's not a voluntary response if a young woman suddenly feels bonded to someone that she's had a sexual encounter with. And it can even happen after heavy petting. It's the cuddle hormone. And she didn't want to fall in love with him, and she doesn't have serious feelings for him in terms of having built any sort of relationship. They literally just hooked up. But now she's, you know, she's pining for him, and she's feeling rejected, and she's upset that he's accusing her of changing the rules because she wants to call and wants to text. And her inability to cope with the confusing emotional chaos that is surrounding her is causing all of these acting out behaviors. When the remedy could be simply to not hook up. 1-800-811-3003. It's tragic when you read the case studies that Dr. Grossman presents in her book, Unprotected, which is our pro-life resource tonight. 1-800-811-3003. She writes about Olivia, 18 years old, a freshman, valedictorian of her senior class, hoping to go to med school, but she's been throwing up 6 times a day. So she's sent her down to the lab to get her blood drawn, and if her potassium is low, it could cause an abnormal heart rhythm. Originally, she developed bulimia in the 9th grade. With therapy, she did well. She thought that she was stable and recovering until she got to college. But it's not the academic pressure. She's doing well in her classes. No, end of a romance that precipitated the relapse and brought Olivia to the UCLA Psychiatry Center, Counseling Center, for help. Her therapist recognized her depression and eating disorder and referred her to Dr. Grossman for evaluation. And during the initial meeting, she described the short-lived relationship, her first experience with intimacy. And she said, through tears, "When it ended, it hurt so much. I think about him all the time. I haven't been going to one of my classes because he'll be there and I can't handle seeing him. I was so unprepared for this." "Why, doctor?" she asked. "Why do they tell you how to protect your body from herpes and sexually transmitted infections, but they don't tell you what it does to your heart?" Dr. Grossman writes, "Olivia was a smart girl asking a good question." And now, you know, since 2007, campuses are doing all these safe dating and when no means no and when yes means yes workshops, mostly to avoid litigation if there's a date rape situation that involves from the binge drinking cultures on campus. 1-800-811-3003. It's time for a short break, and that'll give you a chance to get to the phone if you'd like to get a copy of Unprotected by Dr. Miriam Grossman from as our gift to you from Cradle My Heart Radio tonight. Join us, won't you? We'd love to hear from you.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. Our pro-life resource tonight is Unprotected. A campus psychiatrist reveals how political correctness in her profession endangers every student. And as we go along this evening, we'll talk about how faith is one of the prescriptions that Dr. Grossman has for helping students on campuses today, the role that faith plays in mental health. But let's go to the phones now and say hi to Ann. Ann is listening in Minneapolis. Hi, Ann. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm entering the conversation a little late regarding the harms of Cosmopolitan magazine. I am involved with a ministry called Christian Action League in Minnesota. We are 7 years old, and our main focus is fighting pornography, and I missed part of the conversation, so I hope I'm not repeating anything, but I know that Cosmopolitan sends their readership to porn sites. It even has portions of pornographic books as samples, and the National Coalition on Sexual Exploitation, Don Hawkins, has said that this is much worse than some of the articles that were in Playboy decades before. And so I just wanted to thank you for addressing this on your program today.
Well, thank you for that. And share more about what your organization is doing, because it sounds like it's a great community resource.
Well, thank you. We can be found at calofmn.com. That's Christian Action League of Minnesota.com. Either way, you can find it. One of our campaigns is alerting people of activities here locally. For example, the alternative newspaper City Pages has ads for pornography and phone sex, and also Dan Savage's column, which is obscene, and the actual distribution of that newspaper in places like public libraries and malt shops in places where children are is against the harmful to minors law, because it has explicit descriptions of sexual activity in it, and the harmful to minors statute says that you cannot have that where children have access to it. So we are encouraging people, when they see this tabloid called City Pages in their local coffee shop, to bring it to the attention of the manager and to ask them kindly not to carry this free tabloid that is corroding the morals of young children who have enough opportunities, unfortunately, via the internet, billboards, magazines, to come in contact with lewd content that they don't need to be one of the sources.
Right. And this is what Victoria Hurst's initiative was as well, that she wants Cosmopolitan to be kept out of the hands of minors. Cosmo Hurst Kids is her initiative.
And kudos
to her.
I'm one of her fans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Anne. I appreciate that. Listen, stay on the line, and thank you for the good work you're doing. I think it's a call to all of us that this is a community issue. It's a public health issue.
Exactly.
And there aren't any of us who care about the next generation who can just say, well, you know, I don't have kids. And stay on the line, and we'll get you a copy of Unprotected by Dr. Miriam Grossman. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
We'll get your address off the air. Let's go Mark, who's listening in Hibbing, Minnesota. Hi, Mark. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, thank you. I'm a pastor of a church, and my wife and I have also fostered like four girls, and we have a daughter of our own as well. They're all teenagers. And I just really see that this is the whole area is a real epidemic almost. And I'm very glad that you're talking about this in a kind of a public forum. And I often think that we just don't talk enough about this in the church as well. I think it's an important subject. And so I think that there needs to be a greater forum in the church talk about it, and also that in my experience as well, I speak with a lot of young men and who are really, really struggling with pornography, and the internet is just devastating for so many of these young guys. And so it's really, it's going both ways. And I think we need to, in the church, be able to hit that head on in order for it to be able to, you know, set out in the community as well.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that, Mark. And I think, you know, there's a double bind. You're right. For boys and young men, there's a real double bind. First of all, we're calling them to purity. And then there's this everything available on the internet. Well, you can see why one might lead to the other. And you're right. The pornography culture is probably more detrimental to boys at this point than the hookup culture. Absolutely. But your comments are so well taken. And as I started to say, you know, Dr. Grossman says that faith is one of the answers in her prescription. And she's Jewish. She's not a Christian. But she says one of her chapters is entitled A Memo to the APA, the American Psychological Association, Believing in God is Good for You. And she says, you know, as a psychiatrist and as a counselor, you have to be able to, you know, allow for that. And we have to be able to, certainly as the church, help young people to understand that, you know, that our deepest needs are to be found first in faith, you know, then through expressing who God has made us to be. And then as God provides, you know, ordaining these relationships. But it's, boy, there's so much on the shoulder of the parents and the church these days. And the culture is just winning it too often. Mark, thank you for your call. I really appreciate the work that you're doing and the heart that you have for the youth today. You know, as Dr. Grossman concludes her book, Unprotected, she writes about a conversation with a colleague. And she said, you know, they don't, on their screening, on their history, when they see a student, they don't, the questionnaires does not include questions about sexually transmitted diseases or abortion. And so they have a conversation. They say, well, of course I ask about that because you're not going to get a full history. If you know that someone's had an abortion, obviously that's why she's depressed, the two psychologists say to one another, and that they don't feel comfortable talking about these things. And so what Dr. Grossman says is that, you know, we have to look to, first of all, we have to look to the science. This is not somebody moralizing and just making a cultural judgment. This is a doctor, an MD, who's looking to what the research says is, you know, what the culture's practices are doing to the developing brains of boys and girls and young women and young men, and help them understand that there's been trauma. There's been trauma because of abortion, but also because of some of the images and the things and experiences that they've had. So, Mark, I'm sorry, did you have anything you wanted to add? I'm sorry I didn't maybe give you a chance to finish.
I guess one more thing that I would say is that, you know, if you are a faith-based family, which we have been, and that is, like, I tried, you know, we have two boys as well, and when they were younger, we had been really open with really all our children to say, hey, if you're having any trouble whatsoever in this area, we want to be open. And so that if you're struggling with something, we don't want you to go through that alone. And because we often, you know, too often allow these young people to get their ideas around them through peers and things like that. But we need to establish open relationships with adults that really love and care for them so they can, you know, gander through these really difficult subjects and not feel embarrassed to ask about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, it takes a great deal of courage to be honest about it. And you know what? Good Christian people are the only ones not talking about it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm very sad about that.
Right. And we can control that. We may not be able to control the culture, but we can absolutely control the conversation. And our kids are dying for us to speak truth to them. Mark, thank you so much. We really appreciate your call. And we appreciate so many callers we were not able to put on the air tonight. We will continue this topic next week. I promise you that. We'll have Unprotected Part 2, and we'll have some more resources available for you as well. I know that you care, and that's why you listen. And we try to bring you the very best of the information that's going to immunize, right? We cannot keep the culture out, but we can perhaps immunize the young people that are within our circle of influence, the ones that God has given into our care, so that they will be able to, first of all, know God. Because if you don't know God, how can you possibly love Him enough to obey Him? That's the pattern that He has set out for us. We know God. The more we know Him, the more we love Him. And then we can obey and do life His way. And, you know, just to be able to tell young people, when God says not to do it, He says, if you don't, you'll be happy. Oh, my goodness. Let's start that conversation with the young people around us. We'll have more on it this week, and in the meantime, join us online at cradlemyheart.org for lots of resources and links to Miriam Grossman and more about her important work, as well as the work of Victoria Hurst, our guest earlier tonight. I'm Kim Cotola, thanking you so much for listening tonight. We're praying for you, and remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.